I do appreciate this church, and I think years ago when I first came here, I think it was Brother Cox was pastor, and it was the first church that invited me to preach in this area. Not very many of the pastors around here at that time knew me. I'd been with John Gilpin, and if anybody of you remembers him, some of you may. He was a controversial character, and been around him, so people around here didn't know quite what to think. And if you remember the Baptist Examiner, and I'm going back 40 years probably, so it is good to be here. This church has always been a blessing to me and our family and our church. I can't remember how many times we used your baptistry, because we didn't have one at our little church, and it was too cold to baptize in the creek. So we went ahead and come over here. Our whole church would fit on the two front pews. So, but the Lord is blessed, and it's good to be with you this morning. And do pray for our church. There'll be an empty spot there for a while, and Brother Paul was a real blessing to us. But God knows what's right, and he does all things well. And I appreciate these churches that are willing to have these conferences, and I feel like I'm preaching to a congregation of preachers here this morning, and I do appreciate that we all can come together and fellowship with one another. It becomes a rare thing nowadays for two Baptists to agree on any one thing, so... So let us continue with the spirit of fellowship and agreement, and continue to pray for one another. Brother Head has set the theme, and pretty much to my knowledge, I know the Holy Spirit is always working, as Brother Head spoke on the grace of God and how that it affects our lives. And what a blessing it is to be in God's grace. I want to consider what it is to live under grace and what it means to be a child of God. And what does it suggest that we are under the grace of God? And how do we live in that under that state of being under the grace of God? So many times I feel like David, and I ask, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And you consider what we are and who we are and what we were, how that God would indeed bless us in the way he has and give us a knowledge of our sinfulness and show us our Savior, Jesus Christ. You can be turning in your Bibles to Romans chapter 7. We'll be around chapter 6. 7 and 8, and we'll be bringing some thoughts from those passages this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your many blessings upon us. We thank you for this church and her pastor and his family. We ask you to bless those that are unable to be here, that are sick. Many from our church are preparing for this funeral we have in a few hours. We ask you to bless there, be with that family. Lord, encourage them in their time of loss. We ask you, Lord, to be with each speaker here today. And, Lord, we pray you would bless them. And may we say it's been good to be in thy house. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, all that I know and all that I've experienced of God's grace, of his mercy and his love, all that I've experienced of his salvation, of the gospel of his son, it causes me to live day by day with at least three great concerns. And that would be, as I live in this world, there are three things that I seek above all others. And I know in this world, in this flesh, I'll never be able to attain these three things, but I do enjoy the hope of having grace here and glory hereafter, that I will enjoy these three very important things to me. And the three great desires of my heart before God would be, first of all, a perfect, uninterrupted communion with Christ. What a blessing that would be if we could live this life right now in this world without any distractions, but to be in communion with Jesus Christ completely, all the time. And then secondly, a total consecration to Christ. To be able to say, of all that we have and all that we are, it belongs to you, Lord. Hold nothing back. But it's all consecrated to Him. And then probably, last of all but not least, a complete conformity to Christ. Oh, what a blessing that would be. What a great world this would be if we were able to conform to Him as He's revealed Himself to us in Scripture. And by the grace of God, I have a good hope that someday I will realize these three great desires. They will be mine. Soon I will drop this robe of flesh, and soon I will walk into glory and be with my Savior forever. But in the meanwhile, I want to live in this world for the honor of Him who has given me such a hope. As Brother Head brought out so well, that hope of eternal glory that we live for. But we're called here to live a life of abundance, as Brother Head brought out very well. And we live in grace here and glory hereafter. In Christ, God's people are totally free from the law for salvation. Yet we know that those who know God are to devote themselves to God and to live in this world for the glory of God. We're not constrained by the law, though, to do that. We're constrained by love. Amen. And in keeping with the entire Word of God, we live under grace. We live because of grace, and we're entirely free from the constraints and the principles of legal bondage. Romans chapter 7 and verse 4 says, "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to Him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." Romans chapter 10, just a few pages over. Verse 4 says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Paul, speaking to the Galatians in chapter 3, he said in verse 24, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." In chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace." So what a privilege it is to live in this world, free in liberty with Christ. You look at chapter 6 and verse 11 of Romans. Remember, in chapters 3 through 5, we won't take time to read them, but here Paul had shown how that the Lord reckons His people righteous, how we are dead to sin, and how we're completely justified in Christ. in the opening verses of chapter 6, he meets the objection that is raised by many self-righteous men, that as we teach these things, it would lead to a life of sin. As Brother Paul mentioned, the Pentecostal preacher. Well, if I believed that, I would live any old way I want. I could sin all I want. The thing he doesn't understand is a true child of God, one sin is more than they want. In verses 1 and 2, he says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" So then in verse 4 through 10, the Holy Spirit reminds us of our baptism and what that means. As believers, we've publicly confessed that we are now dead to sin, that we are alive unto God. We go into the waters of baptism. We're submerged. We're buried in the waters of baptism, dying to the old life and rising to newness of life in Christ and unto the glory of God. So then in verse 11, he says, "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin," in chapter 6, "but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that should be obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace." So as we see, as the Holy Spirit reveals here, and knowing that we are dead to sin and that we're free from the law and saved by the grace of God, knowing that, I have one question that constantly weighs upon me. One question that weighs upon my heart, and it is a motivating force, a driving force in my life, and has been for over 30 years. And this one thing that motivates me as a governing principle in my life and should be in the life of every believer and every relationship that we have on this earth and in every aspect of our lives, that one question that motivates at the same time, it is that one thing that troubles me most every day. And that question is, how can I live in this world for the glory of God? How can I live in this world in the flesh for the glory of God? "Whether therefore you eat or drink," we're admonished, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, "or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." What a mandate. What a charge that is. Colossians 3:17, Paul says, "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." He doesn't leave anything to question. He says in 1 Peter, Peter said in 1st letter, chapter 4, verse 11, "If any man speak," such a simple thing as speaking, "if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth him, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ." God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What a challenge. What a charge indeed this is. And then when I'm done, there'll be plenty more room to be said And I know that this message, if we were to heed this message from God's Word completely, it would still not solve all of our problems in the flesh. I only hope to inspire hearts to the pursuit of that, and that to the glory of God. And I want to just give you five answers to this question. How can I live in this world for the glory of God? Five answers. We must begin at the beginning. Makes sense? If we would live for the glory of God, first and foremost, we must live by faith in Christ. In Colossians 2, verse 6, he says, As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Another place he says, walk in the Spirit. Ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Another place we're told, be ye filled with the Spirit. We're told that the just shall live by faith. So how did you receive Christ? He said, as ye therefore received Christ, Jesus. How did you receive Christ? We did not receive Christ by the works of the flesh, not by the will of the flesh, not by him that worketh, or by the hearing of the law, but we received Christ by faith. In Galatians chapter 3, in the first few verses there, we're told how we received Christ. Chapter 3. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, that you're now made perfect in the flesh? We received Jesus Christ through faith. That's where we began, through the hearing of the Word of God, implying the empowering of the Holy Spirit. That's how we must live. As we received Him by faith, that's how we must live. If we were to honor God, if we would honor Him and would fulfill the law and magnify our Savior, we can only do it by faith in Him. Very clearly set forth through the book of Romans in chapter 3, verse 1, Paul said, what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? He goes on to talk about how that we, in verse 31, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law through faith. Hebrews 11, an example from the old covenant concerning Enoch, where we're told that he walked by faith, and in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, and I'll tell you which verse it is when I get to it. Chapter 11, verse 4. He says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he being dead, yet speaketh. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. By faith. And was not found because he had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we must begin, if we're to live this life, and this life for the glory of God, we must begin in faith. And how did you receive him? Through faith. And if you have received him, you received him by faith. You came to Him as a sinner, trusting Him as your Savior. You bowed to Him as a servant, receiving Him, Jesus Christ, as your Lord, a bondslave to Christ. You came to Him as a bride would come to her husband, conquered by His love, embracing Him as your husband. And as you received Christ, the Lord, so walk ye in Him, trusting Christ alone for all things, trusting God's providence in all things. Remembering what the psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Remembering what Solomon said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy path. It's a walk of faith, trusting Christ, trusting God's provision. Walking in faith, following Christ, worshiping Him, in everything giving thanks, sing praises to Him, follow the Master's example. He said, I have given you example that you should do as I have done to you. In 1 Peter chapter 2, he says in verse 20, for what glory is it if ye, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, that is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. Who, when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not. But He committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously, who is in His own self bear our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. You understand, living to the glory of God has to be, first of all, through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works. He says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So if we would live in this world for the glory of God, we must live by faith in Christ. And secondly, to answer that question, if we would live in this world for the glory of God, we must strive to remember what the Lord God has done for us by His grace in Christ. There's no better pastime than to meditate upon the things that Christ has done for us and what He is doing for us. Romans chapter 12, as Brother Head quoted, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, remembering what Christ has done, the mercy that He shed upon you, the grace that He shed upon you, by those mercies, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He says to the Corinthian church in the first letter, chapter 6, verse 19, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore, because of this, knowing this, that you are not your own, that you're bought with a price, that Christ shed His precious blood for you. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Listen, if we would live in this world for the glory of God, we must remember what the Lord has done for us. And then if we would live in this world for the glory of God, we must in all ways seek the will and glory of God in all things and above all things. We need to be careful here, because I do not mean that we should endeavor to show people that we love the Lord. That's not the motive. That's not the reason we do it. I do mean, though, that we ought to be consumed with the love of Christ and utterly consumed with love for Christ. Some people seem to me that they're so holy, they're of no earthly good. We need to be a comfort to others. Where do you believe? Where do you think Christ would be right now if he were walking upon the earth? You think he would be here maybe? He may stop in for a while, but you know where he would be? He'd be out seeking sinners. He may be over the Rhine. He may be in the not so desirable parts of this Cincinnati community. Where would he be? As he said to us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said for us to set our affection on things above and not on things of the earth. Most of you know this, that the secret to satisfaction in this world is serving God. It fulfills us. It completes us. The secret to a happy life and abundant life is doing his will. John chapter 4, verse 31 says, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Satisfied in serving him. Surrendering all things to Christ. Call everything but dung in comparison to him. Don't hold too tightly upon your homes and your cars and your families. As precious as they are and as needful as they are. Don't hold so tightly unto them. And I've often said, as Brother Head brought out, we live in an affluent country. Our pets eat better than the children in most third world countries. We spend more money on them than they have in a year to spend. So let us be careful to take up our cross and follow him. Let's see if we can lose our life to Christ, and he will save it. Just as Mary said at the wedding unto the servants, when they'd run out of wine, she said to them, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Leave it up to mom, right? Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 says, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. Paul says, I went to Arabia and returned again under Damascus. There's a great story behind that. He said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, what things were gained to me, those I count for loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. Is the day coming that we'll suffer the loss of all things? How will that affect you? That we may be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, be made conformable unto his death. So if we would live in this world for the glory of God, we must seek his will. And fourthly, if we would live in this world for the glory of God, we must deal honestly with ourselves and about ourselves. Sometimes it's difficult because of the crowd we run around with. Most of us know very little and spend very little time out in the world. We stand amazed that we look at the current political situation. Our politics, the people that are being supported, are supported by the majority of the people in this land. Do any of them line up with your beliefs? Listen, we're a minority. We know very little about what's going on in the world, and yet we must deal honestly with ourselves. And so often we think, we doubt, or we think that, well, I'm not so sinful. I don't have any major problems. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. We're sinners. You say, well, churches are a great thing as long as they don't have any people in them. A lot of our churches are getting that way. Don't have a lot of people in them, do we? We're standing in a conservative group, aren't we? But the Bible says we're all as an unclean thing, and our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Read Romans chapter 7. Paul said that in his flesh, presently in his flesh, there dwell no good thing. He said, I'm carnal, I'm sold under sin. That which I do, I allow not. And what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. So if we would live in this world for the glory of God, we must realize we're depraved in the flesh. I know we've been given a new heart, a new desire, a new mind, but it's like there's an inward battle, isn't there? There's the flesh, then there's the spirit, and there's always a battle between. One old preacher said, who's going to win? The one you say sick 'em to. So if we would live in this world, lastly, for the glory of God, we must walk in love. Ephesians chapter 4 says, 32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God, chapter 5, verse 1, as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ hath also loved us, and hath given himself an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So as I try to apply this, maybe a little more practically to our lives and ourselves, so what I'm saying is, as brothers and sisters, and I count every one of you here as every believer here as a brother or sister, do what you can for Christ. Take the example of the woman who anointed Jesus. And he said, she hath done what she could. She hath done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. We're not all preachers. We're not all teachers. But there's always something you can do. Never forget who you are and who you belong to now. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. May God enable us, is my prayer. Brother Paul.